This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
No. That's not it. You know, in this game, you got to be locked in every play. You know, it happened early in the game, right? Fly ball to center field, man's in the corner. We threw to the plate. We have no chance at the plate. The guy advanced, and before the play, you have to put everything in perspective. You got to see it, you know, and what's worth it and what's not, you know, and the odds of getting a guy out. Against, you know, the next play, we got out of the inning. So it's all that stuff that you have to think before it happens, you know. And we got to keep preaching good defense. We got to coach them. At the end, it's on me. You know, I'm the manager of this club, and we've been sloppy. So it's not about pointing fingers, right? You know, the roster is a roster, and we have to play better baseball. But, you know, I'm the manager of this team, and, you know, defensively, we're not good. We're not.
Okay. That's Alex Cora.
Yeah.
So the defense is on him. We got at least we got that.
Mm-hmm. And we have Cora in February in the most amazing story I have ever seen, where John Tomasi wrote a whole column at NBC Sports Boston with this headline: Kike Hernandez is a defensive upgrade from Bogarts at short, not the Onion. Alex Cora within the story. He's a good shortstop, man, on Kike. He's a good shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it because he's a great defender. He compares him to Bogarts favorably, saying that he thinks he'll do the job well. So everybody's saying that Cora was down on this from the beginning. Wrong.
No.
Nobody said Cora was down on it, but what else? What other card did he have to play? Like, there's nobody else.
You can say
else
he's not great. You can say he's not good. You can say.
So you're just you're going to openly basically rebel against
the
ownership?
That's what he did last week. After he played poorly, he then ripped the players that he had. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, because they were playing poorly. Well, that's the point. Before the season, he hasn't played shortstop yet. So it's like, yeah, I'm going to support my guy, so hopefully he goes out and plays well, because that's what a manager's supposed to do. But then when the guy plays well, it's the talent of the player. He's not playing well.
A good manager is there when you need him, not when you don't.
Yes, and when Cora's basically only impact he can have on the game is switching in and out the pitchers when it comes to the bullpen, and the bullpen's been the best part of this team all year. Okay. All year.
This team is defensively is horrendous.
I agree.
And he just told you that's on him.
Yes, because what is he supposed to do?
No, you know what he does? He throws in the roster is the roster at the end there. So that guys like you will be like, throw your hands up in the air and be like, what can Alex Cora do?
No, because that's the only way he could take a shot at ownership in the front office without outright saying it's their fault.
Well, I would put the shortstop situation on Chaim Bloom. I wouldn't really put it so much on Alex Cora, because I agree with Chaim to a certain extent, right? You're looking for who's your best option there.
Yeah.
And it looked like your best option was Yu Chang, and then he gets hurt. And so now you got no choice but to put Kike there. So I would put it on more on Chaim Bloom. Or I would ask Alice this question. Why wouldn't you bring up the kid from down at Triple A ball, the kid that you drafted like number one with your first overall pick or whatever pick it was that the Red Sox had? It was the first pick that they had. You took why wouldn't you bring him up? Like, that would be my biggest thing. If you're looking at defensively, you're struggling at shortstop, is Kike hitting good enough to say, okay, you know what, we'll be able to trade one off for the other. If not, bring the young kid up. Let him play there. Maybe you don't get the same type of stuff you're getting at the plate for Kike, but you're not getting a ton from Kike. But then again, I could see what the Red Sox are doing. As fans, ain't nobody tripping. Mm-hmm. We don't mind. We still go to the games. We still go to – and John Henry, kudos on him. That's being a smart owner. Why spend a lot of money when you know you could still pack it out?
Get out of here. You keep saying that. There were boos yesterday. Like, fans are not – there were. Did you hear it during the audio?
No, I missed those boos.
Wiggy, you're nuts if you don't think people are enraged by what they saw.
No, they're not. Stop
it's not
Chris.
On the same level as this it is for any of the other teams. We can all say that.
This is not 2001.
Yeah.
It's not 1999.
Okay, nothing's 2001.
Right, so the fans are, listen, we are now at the point where, you know what? Hey, as long as you give me a team that's within arm's reach, I want to go to Fenway. I want to take pictures in front of the
green.
The
people that I know say, give a good effort and I'll enjoy it. That was the opposite. Right. People that I know
But the people you're communicating with, they're the minority in this situation.
I got a communications degree.
No, that they're the minorities. The fans, you know where it's the proof is in the pudding. And that place is packed.
This is Tim from Hanover. What's up, Tim?
Good morning, gentlemen, ladies, and everybody. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
But I got to step in today and tell Shine he's on target, man, about Cora. Because Cora's dealt with this for the last couple years, and here we are. It's just ongoing from the way these guys pull their triggers on who they're going to get.
Dealt with what for the last couple years?
Not having the talent for the team.
What?
Thank you, Greg. Having the talent.
Was Xander Bogaerts on this roster last season?
Yes, and shortstop wasn't a problem last season.
When Bogart was there, Bogart was the man. He was good. I wish they never traded him. He's an excellent guy.
Where did Alex Cora manage that team with Xander Bogaerts? To last year, to last place.
Yes, because the rotation was awful, Greg.
Because of what he has, what he's been given by the front office. Exactly what Shine was saying. And Cora's only doing whatever he can with what he has. That's all.
Now, I think the texter's right. He gets a pass for whatever reason. I don't know why.
It's not a pass. It's like clearly the front office is a massive issue right now. Like Chaim Bloom is doing a horrendous job. Last year, the pitching, awful. Starting and bullpen was atrocious. So I understand, yes, Cora didn't get them very far last year. And I understand they're in last place right now at 30-29. I get it. But you also have to look at the product on the field. Like, Cora can only do so much as the manager. The product on the field is awful.
He knew what the product was. He knew who their shortstop was when he supported it. Then, when they played like crap, he blamed the roster.
Yes.
You're supposed to do that in the inverse.
No.
You're supposed
Before the season starts, you cannot. You're supposed to support your guys.
So, but during the season, you're not supposed to.
He's criticizing the front office. He's still supporting his guys.
Whoa. By criticizing the roster, you're criticizing the people that comprise your roster.
Yep.
So you're saying he's not ripping his players. That's the definition of it.
Sure, fine, whatever. But, I mean, it's before the season. Prior to that, you can't rip a guy for something he hasn't done yet.
With regard, let me just play that audio. With regard to Kike playing shortstop and what Sam Kennedy said about that, you have that full audio, correct? All right, go ahead, Sean.
I'm sure, you know, Kike is as frustrated as anybody, and you know, that's a discussion and decisions that will be made by Alex Cora and the coaching staff and baseball ops.
And baseball ops. Who's in charge of that?
Chaim Bloom.
Thank you, Wiggy.
Who did he say first?
Coaching
Alex
staff.
Cora, because Alex he doesn't Cora. Want to put it on Chaim.
Like,
why would Sam want the blame
boy.
To be on the front office?
I thought Alex was the golden boy, but now he's the one who's being blamed.
By the front office? Yeah, he's going to.
Okay.
Because they don't want to lose their jobs. That's the point. They need a scapegoat, so they want you to feel like it's Alex Cora's fault. It's not Alex Cora's fault because it's the product on the field.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, they're not going to fire Alex Cora because what you saw in Springfield was that he was the lone bright spot. Fans love Cora.
Yep.
They're not going to get rid of him.
Right, because nowadays fans, I don't want to use the word, soft because that's the wrong way to go about it. But now we're just, what's the word that I'm looking for, Courtney? Come on, give me something new.
It's likability.
We're basic. We are basic bitches now. That's what we are.
You can't say that about Cora, though, because Cora's done a lot of good.
But no, no. But we are now, when I say we're basic bitches as fans, what that means is that we don't really hold their feet to the fire no more. Cora does get a pass. You, even look at Missoula. Hey, guess what? He got us two games away from, you know, getting back to. But that Jim Montgomery, 63 wins. We are now, as fans, we're not the same way it used to be. And, you know, I'm moving on into that. I'm kind of a basic bitch myself.
Okay. All right. At least you embrace it.
Yeah, give me a team that at least is within arm reach of the playoffs. It's what I care about nowadays.
Wiggy's like, I love that thing they do where they pile all the beer cups up in the seventh inning and then they topple over.
That's it.
Can we have Sweet Caroline after each inning?
I cannot tell you how much I hate Sweet Caroline.
That's what
when I was at the game
now,
Saturday, all I wanted to do was leave.
I love the souvenir ice cream cone.
But that's why. Good. But that's why I go to the games.
They should play that every time there's an in the Parker.
Mm-hmm. That's what we are.
I give my friend a high five after every missed throw.
Oh, me and my buddies, when we send out a text, the only reason why we go to the game is for Sweet Caroline. We are now on that thing. Sweet Caroline and selfies.
This is James. This is James from Worcester. What's up, James?
Great name.
Hey, guys. Big fan. I gotta hang my hat on a comment that was said that, to fix the problem at shortstop, let's just call up the guy that we just drafted.
Wiggy's been saying that.
With our first overall pick.
Yeah.
The guy can't hit down in minors.
Okay, dude, you don't even know the guy's name. His name is Marcelo Meyer.
He's not even in AAA.
He's not even in AAA, dude.
He just got to Portland.
Well, bring him up from wherever he is. How bad can he be?
Wiggy, he's hitting like 160.
I think he's 20 years old.
So what? What is Kike hitting?
My point here is this. If you're gonna dog on Cora for the shortstop problem, you can't just say that, we have an organizational fix. We don't. This him saying, I'm working with the roster I've got, that's correct, completely valid. That's all he can do. And Cora is his job is not just to switch the pitchers or switch the lineup. His job is to control that clubhouse. And for you to say that, we can just call up a guy, that's not right.
We can. Yeah, James, Kike is hitting 233. He's got five home runs.
In the majors, yes.
And so he's basically...
Meyer went 0 for his first 12 in double A.
They got him ranked at 138. All right,
double A.
Well, maybe guess what?
Fantastic.
Maybe you don't give as much at the plate, and you're able to not make as many errors. Yeah. What you want? Yeah. I mean... don't they do that all the time in baseball?
Or
isn't that the whole role of the catcher now?
Or they could have just signed a guy in the offseason that would have hit 250 and not made any errors.
But why?
You could have done that too.
Yeah.
Yes, you could have. All right. Let's get to Courtney.
I love this baseball talk today. I love it.
Fiery.
What's the guy's name again?
Marcelo Meyer.
Yeah, bring him up.
He's not related to Oscar, if you were wondering. All right, let's get to Courtney and what is trending.
The Rich Keefe Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Awaken 180. The Sox fall 6-2 to the Rays yesterday. They'll try to even out the series this afternoon. First pitch at 4:05. Listen to Will Fleming and Brad Foe on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Brian Baio taking the mound today, opposing Shane McClanahan. Before that, hang out with Christian Arcan for the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investment. The NBA Finals are all tied up. Miami took Game 2 out in Denver. 111-108 was the final. Game 3 will be in Miami on Wednesday. They are expecting Tyler Hero to make a return in that one. In the Stanley Cup Finals, the Golden Knights are on the board first. Game 2 in Sin City is tonight at 8 p.m. Some sad news in the NFL. Kansas City Chiefs matriarch Norma Hunt has died at the age of 85. And happy 82nd birthday to Robert Kraft. He ranks number 167 on the world's richest at $10.6 billion net worth.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad.
And the New England Free Jacks stretched their win streak over the weekend. Friday night, they beat Rugby ATL 35-14. And with free support for life, Awaken 180 stands by their promise as your solution for weight loss. Online at awaken180weightloss.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
And a happy birthday to Mr. Kraft. But I would also note Forbes just released the most profitable sports teams over the last 3 years. The Patriots are the second most profitable sports team, bringing in $623 million in profits over the last 3 years.
Wow.
Each of those years, they averaged 27th in league spending.
Mm.
So maybe spend some money.
People show up.
What does that have to do with anything?
We are basic bitches.
God, that's your argument for everything.
But that's the truth. And that's the truth.
Outside it's of the truth. And
don't hate. Hours. It's the truth.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Tomorrow, it is a two for Tuesday. That means two Red Sox tickets for you every hour all day. And we will begin during the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow. Wiggy on the Subaru of New England text line. Mm-hmm. You are being accused of being a company man.
That I am. I'm a basic bitch now.
978 texter says, when did Wiggy become a company man for Boston sports teams? It's gross.
Well, you know what? I evolved as a Boston sports fan.
Do people go to the games? Do they buy the tickets?
That's okay. It. I go to the games. I buy the tickets. I take the selfies.
Right, and you know what everybody at Fenway Park is thinking somehow.
I know it's packed there, so whatever
it's
they're
not
thinking.
Packed. You, yeah, you haven't watched any of the games.
Curtis, have you not seen Fenway?
I've been there broadcasting
right,
Saturdays.
And the place is packed.
It is not.
It is, too. It's nothing
Wiggy,
like...
With all due respect, I've been at Fenway a thousand times. I know it better than I know anything else in this
world. It is packed.
Okay.
I watched the
I'll
Red Sox
I'll get the attendance
game.
Info for you.
Yeah, give me the attendance info. How many does it seat there? 35,000?
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're not sold out.
So if they're sitting... If you get 30,000 in there, that means the game is packed.
The Boston Red Sox in 2023 ranked 12th in attendance.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
At home, they average, let's see.
Go ahead.
Oh. The Red Sox average 31,000 fans.
Pretty good.
5,000 empty seats a night.
Pretty good. Pretty damn good.
They were top three for 30 years.
Yeah, but when you compare them to all the other teams, all the other ballparks, that's
Stop
good.
It. They're, I mean, people.
For what they're putting out there on the field?
Exactly. People are going to. So they can't be. People ain't tripping that hard if they're still going to the games and they're still showing up night in and night out.
When later, the weather sucks.
Later this week.
No, we'll it doesn't have to. Those are bought before the game. It doesn't mean how many people actually go.
We'll be able to compare it to the attendance at the first ever European Sex Championship.
Mm-hmm. No, that place is going to be packed.
I have so many questions about that, if I'm being honest.
Really?
Like you said, the audience can vote. So is there a stage where these people are just performing sexual acts?
I'm sure it's just like any other sporting event.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was my lead this morning. Sweden is the first country to register sex as a sport.
And by the way, Fenway Park, which is a massive tourist destination, is 12th in attendance? And we're celebrating that?
Pretty good. What's
in what way is 12th pretty good?
Oh, it's a new era. Impact. The basic bitch way. I don't know if you know about that, Curtis.
That doesn't make any
it's
sense.
It's not 1999, buddy. Not 2001. Not 2002.
Right.
Fans today are different.
Well, all the fans in all sports are different, and they're 12th.
No. They only care. Your home, you already talked about what they're averaging at home, 31,000.
Right. They're 12th in
Major
League Baseball.
Only care about going to games, getting selfies.
But do you apply the same, a texter wants to know if you apply the same logic when it comes to the Patriots and being sold out and the Celtics?
Same thing. No, I'm the one who brought up the Celtics and them talking about how it was a good season in their minds. That's how fans look at it. No longer the days of the fans calling in, bitching and complaining about the Bruins losing, long gone. The Bruins lost. It's, you know, all right, you're upset for a couple days, and next thing you're moving on.
They're all saying, oh, there are so many cities out there. There are so many states out there that would kill to be in the position that we're in season after season. That's what a lot of fans think now. And I understand that Curtis, you know, he's like, oh, the people I talk to aren't like that. Well, Curtis, your friends are like hard-o Red Sox fans. Right. That's the difference here.
That's not...
Well, I don't really have many friends, to be fair.
So then who the hell are you talking about?
I host a radio show on Saturdays with Ken sometimes. Okay. I work here. People communicate with me via electronic
messages. Do you hear people
messages.
Bitching about the Red Sox?
Yeah, hard-o Red Sox fans.
I do.
I don't.
What do you hear bitching about the Red Sox?
Baseball Brett.
A hard-o baseball fan.
Okay, Boston used to be full of hard-o baseball fans.
Anymore. It's not Curtis. It's not. Like I told you, it's not 1999.
Right, and why do you think, you say it's not 1999
well, because you
again,
stop bringing up, well, Boston used to be this, Boston used to be that.
What are we measuring it against, Wiggy?
But we're measuring it against the rest of Major League Baseball.
Right,
you and
they're
whole
middle of the pack.
But you and this whole mentality of Boston used to be this, Boston, but this is what makes Boston a great city.
Well, I still think Bruins fans are like they were in the 90s.
No,
they're
not. They're not even close. The Bruins, lost, and there was probably a little frustration for maybe 2 or 3 days, and they moved on.
I'm still pissed about that.
Oh, stop it!
Hold on. As long as Wiggy's going to keep it up, Curtis, go ahead, Sean. What year is it, Wiggy?
1999.
Curtis, it's not 1999, all right? Get it together.
Do we have to establish so we don't need to repeat it?
Well, how many times you got to repeat, oh, Boston used to be this, Boston used to be that?
Because we're measuring how the fan base is today versus earlier.
When's earlier?
In my lifetime.
Yeah, 1999. Go back.
Well, I'm not saying 1999 was awesome. They had the All-Star game. Pedro was awesome, all that.
Fans were different. Okay. Now I told you, we are basic bitches.
Right, and so I think we talked about the Saturday, Wiggy. See if you agree.
Okay.
My contention is that the ownership has gotten fat and happy of our four teams, and that no longer is it about getting that next ring. It's about printing more cash, and that's filtered through everywhere.
Do you feel that way about Wick?
I agree with that on everything.
So why did Wick then barge his way into the locker room and say, you need to start playing like you have balls?
Well, I think the reason Brad Stevens has his job and Joe Mazzulla has his job is because they would have to be paid to do nothing if they were fired, so they're retained because they don't want to spend two people to do one job.
Right. And I agree with Curtis on that one. Him and I do agree on that. They're out fat and happy. That's why Brad comes out and he says, well, it's not a complete failure. Wick feels the same way. Just because you barge in and you're upset during a game doesn't mean that you look at the season as a complete failure. And I think Wick looks at it because if he
barged in there because it was embarrassing for the Celtics to be down 3-0 in that series.
Right, but that was one game.
Okay.
What is he doing about it?
I don't know. Because he
looks like nothing,
Somebody's convinced him that Joe Mazzulla somehow is going to be a much better head coach.
Mm-hmm.
With the addition of an offseason to get ready and Sam Cassell, that he's going to be a much better head coach.
And you know who convinced them of that?
Brad Stevens did.
And who hired Brad Stevens?
He did.
Okay, so.
And the other thing here, and I agree with Wiggy 1,000% on the Celtics, but just the other point about the Red Sox to bring it full circle is the TV deals have become so lucrative, whether it's the Nesson money or the NFL deals, that the actual season in-game cash is not nearly as relevant. The Patriots are making an additional $300 million before a ball is kicked off this year from the new TV deal. So all these teams in different ways are profiting massively before they even get to the game. It used to be they needed to fill the stadium. They needed to get that gate. And now it's probably the fourth or fifth biggest moneymaker they
have. And the other thing is, and Curtis is right about that, but you add on to the fact, what fills the stadium? In the Red Sox case, people just love going there because it is a tourist destination. In the Celtics case, you have Jason Tatum. So you have those guys. Or in the Bruins case, you have a guy like Pastrnak or McAvoy. You have these young superstars that are always going to make your team relevant, and they're going to make your team competitive. So that's why these places will always be packed, and they know they're not tripping. They are fat and happy, and I agree with Curtis on that.
This is Nate. Hello, Nate.
Good morning.
What's up?
All you got to do is, you got to give Alex Cora a pass. All you got to do is look down the way at Foxborough and see that you have a head coach slash GM. He lived the glory with Brady, and now he's getting criticized with the roster that he has now for the past 4 or 5 years. Cora doesn't get to pick his players. He's not a GM. You know what I mean? And you only can work with so much. You know what I'm saying? So Curtis, he's got bubble gum and duct tape right now, and that doesn't work.
Curtis said it earlier, though. Bill has never finished in last place. Never.
Nope.
Well, it doesn't have to. The thing is he is competitive because the thing is, he is one of the greatest coaches. But as a GM, he sucks. And we all know that. And we want to sit there and, pull on his coattails and say, oh, you're the greatest, Bill. You're the greatest. But not as a GM. I'm sorry. And honestly, I think he's doing a disservice for himself of taking over the duties GM. And actually, just if he would let somebody else pick the players, he can sit out there and really be that masterpiece and really work that chess game. But honestly, as a GM, he's no bueno.
See, but I don't think he sucks as a GM. And I know people say that.
He's run of the mill. Like, he's not amazing, but he's not, like, awful. He's not the worst in football. He's not, the worst in football. I can't come up with
it. I mean, he's had a couple bad draft choices and draft picks. Yeah, but every GM has that. But
you're going to have that when you draft 25 years in a row.
But you look at some of the guys that he brought in, like a Matthew Judon. I mean, he hit on that. And he's always going to have his misses, whether it's Jonnu Smith.
Did Judon really blame jury duty for missing the OTAs?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't even hear about
that. Because he tweeted that. It would have been the biggest story ever. How many massholes would have immediately called this show and be like, yeah, Judon's next to me. He's going to be joining me here.
Shine, weren't you on this very show the day after the Bruins got summarily dismissed saying that you wanted Jim Montgomery fired?
Yeah, he deserved to be fired. That was his fault.
But Alex Cora is about to put together back-to-back last-place finishes.
These are very different, Greg. As I will explain, Don Sweeney last year, and
you already called him Sweeneyus.
Yep, I absolutely lambasted him when they fired Bruce Cassidy because I felt like that was the wrong move. But then Sweeney comes out and he makes every move he possibly could. He gave Jim Montgomery all of the talent the Boston Bruins could muster and afford, and they spent literally as much money as they physically could. And Jim Montgomery screwed up the decisions, screwed up his players, got his players hurt. That wasn't the front office. That's on the coach. Whereas in Alex Cora's case, just like the caller said, he's dealing with duct tape and bubble gum with a roster that stinks. And the one guy you've actually paid in Rafael Devers is hitting like .245.
Can I just say this? I hope Cora doesn't lose his job. He seems like a guy that gets it around here, and I want him to succeed. But if he is getting fired, can we please have it when we're on live in Keene next Friday? Because it would be awesome for Governor Sununu to be on live.
Victory lap for Sununu.
I mean, I think we should go back to the original question or the original angry text, which started this, which was that Alex Cora, for some reason, gets a pass. But maybe he doesn't.
No, I think he does a little bit. But I do agree with Shime to a certain extent. It seems like it's a lot of how much does a baseball manager really affect the game other than pitching changes and that those types?
And managing the clubhouse. Okay, those are the two big things.
But you always say the same thing about the NBA, league.
You want
Joe Mazzulla out of here.
Right, but in the players' league, you got to be able to manage egos, right? So yeah. If Alex Cora was somebody who could manage egos and that affected baseball, which it really doesn't, it's not about the egos in baseball. Like in basketball, it's about managing egos and getting guys to buy into what their roles are.
Like, Alex Cora doesn't have a Marcus Smart just saying, hey, Alex, I'm going out to pitch for the ninth inning.
Yeah, and so that's why I think baseball is a little bit different in that sense. So I do agree with Chime to a certain extent. And Courtney, you're right. I think he does get a pass because the players love him.
Yeah.
Right? And the media loves him. And everybody loves him. And he did win a World Series.
We've heard the great seasons that he has had. All those players saying, oh, yeah, we're doing it for Cora. We're playing for Alex. I love playing for Alex. And that's why I asked Sam at the beginning of the season if he still has that same leadership or ownership inside the clubhouse. And he said, yeah, the players still love him, still respect him. There's been no change there. So that's why fans have no issue with Alex Cora.
It is going to be a fascinating next 8 weeks as you lead up to July 31st, because as we've been told, I think Greg, Sam said it, or Brian O'Halloran or Heim, that they need to prove that they're worthy of investment at the deadline, right? Yep. So if they stay where they are they going to be selling at the deadline? And God forbid, let's say the Yankees trade for Shohei. You know, it's honestly, this is going to be fascinating because you can't bring this back again next year with Heim and Cora after another last place finish.
I don't think you can sell, though. Like, because if you sell, what are you selling? Like, honestly, what could you possibly sell
we'll
that
give you Kike and a weekend at Springfield
that people would actually want?
No.
So what could you, what you, I, don't you have to really almost be like, all right, we're buying, and maybe we're buying Shohei because we are not buying him necessarily for him to help us win this year, but we're just buying him for all the other stuff that comes with it. Because what could you possibly sell
off? By the way, does anybody else get concerned when you look at the Rays being the best team in the sport since Heim left? Like, do they really miss the guy? Like, what did he do there?
I mean, he was the assistant to the GM anyway. He wasn't even the GM there.
He was Dwight Schrute.
Yeah. He was like upstairs Joe.
But I mean, does he get a pass if they finish?
No, he's getting fired. No. I think he's definitely on the hot seat.
I think he's like an appendage of Henry.
No, there's no way. I don't think John Henry, there's no way he runs it back. If they finish in last place and they don't make the playoffs, I don't think that Heim Bloom is
back.
By the
way, John Henry was loving his time in Cannes at the film festival. Mm-hmm. Looked very enjoyable.
Heim Bloom will be on this show Thursday for this week's Red Sox front office report at 9. Curtis, before we go, there's some news from Mack Island. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I saw Fitzy put this on IG, so I'm just going with it. Madden 2024 ratings are out. Mac Jones overall, 74.
Mm. Yikes.
That's a C.
That's so bad.
I don't really buy into the Madden ratings, but I would be upset if I was Mac, though.
You were, yeah.
I mean, now I don't buy into him, but I buy into him.
Have you seen Wiggy's Madden ratings? Really good.
Yeah.
Ability to be quiet, 0.
No. That's why it's called talk radio.
I know. You're very good at talking.
I mean, if I remember correctly, you had a few good ones.
Yeah, I had a few
good
ones.
Over the years?
I had a real, I was high 1 year. Yeah. 1 year I was pretty high.
On.
1 year, I think
your highest?
I think I made it to, I want to say like 90 or, you know, like high 80s.
Ooh.
Higher than Foyer. I still hold on to that.
Yeah, weren't you like an 89 1 year?
I believe so. I got to double check. Like either 05, I might have been pretty high.
Greg's almost 60.
This is John from Derry. What's up, John?
Hey guys, I know we'll laugh about this, but let's bring back Theo. I mean, come on.
I think Theo is going to be. Isn't he going to be the next commissioner of Major League Baseball?
I'm being 1,000% serious, John. If I were John Henry, I would give Theo 3%, 2% of the team, and he would be the Tom Brady like of the Raiders of the Red Sox. He is brilliant. He's from here. He gets it. The only thing he hasn't done is own a team. He's what better way to end one of the most amazing careers in baseball history?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think the thing with him, he got us out of this 89-year drought. And then in 2007, I mean, he's got multiple championships. I think he would be a good fit, honestly.
Well, bring back Dombrowski. He'll be winning a World Series.
I don't think he's coming back.
Oh, sure,
Dombrowski. I don't think he's going to be.
And by the way, Wiggs, 2007... Madden ratings, 89.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
You were tied with Aaron
Kinney.
E-R-R-O-N.
Yeah, okay. Aaron Kinney.
Aaron Kinney.
Yeah.
So,
not bad.
Pretty good.
I have to double check because maybe an 06, but I'll take the 89. I'll take that. Told you it was higher than Foyer.
I was going to say, let's compare. What was Foyer's?
Not as high as mine.
88?
No, I think he was mid to low 80s.
I want to say we looked this up before. I think Fourier was like 82 or 83.
Yeah, I was up there. My peak was high. I told you I should have been a two-time Pro Bowler if it wasn't for Algie Crumpler and the NFL and no one really, the players. You know, the players get to vote, and then they just vote on guys. And once Crump got in there, It was like I had better stats than him, but he was able to get the Pro Bowl. So if I would have got in when I should have, I deserved it, and I would have got it, I'd have been a 2-time Pro Bowler.
I feel bad, Wiggy. I bought an Algie Crumpler jersey. I supported your rival.
I would have been great on my Pro Football Reference page. 2-time Pro Bowler.
There's room, I'm telling you. Room right now on Mac Island, but get on board.
We can have it.
Yeah, you can have it.
Get on board.
Expand your real estate. Go ahead.
I cannot wait for Sundays in the fall. The text thread with Shime when Mac throws a touchdown pass.
And when he throws a pick.
I feel like Mac Island is going to be like the metaverse when Greg bought in the sandbox. Yeah, we haven't heard about that in a bit.
Curtis, you still want to be in on that?
That was a very good point from Courtney.
Come week 5 or week 6, Mac Island won't be talked
about. It'll just disappear. Yeah.
Gonna get Eamon roped up in that one too.
I mean, poor Eamon.
Did you pay attention to like any of the reports from Wednesday in the OTAs?
Yeah, I did. 11 for 11
looks like a completely different player.
Did you hear surgical precision?
Yeah.
Did you also hear Wiggy
Bill O'Brien?
And
Bill O'Brien standing there on the sidelines running the whole show.
Yeah.
So I heard someone off the record, which I'm allowed to say. Bill O'Brien said best quarterback he's ever coached.
Who was that person? Was that Blackie?
Was that Dante?
I don't even want to, you know, he might have been created in my head, but the conversation happened.
Come on, man. OTAs mean nothing. So he's 11 for 11.
Here we go.
Think about all the great OTA players that we had in years past and didn't even make
Jimmy Garoppolo was exceptional in practices and OTAs.
Okay.
Can't stay on the field.
Well, you know what? First four games are going to tell you. You look at your first four games of the regular season for the Patriots, and we will find out what Mac Jones or how this season might go with Mac Jones.
Could you imagine, Greg, Monday morning, Mac Jones outduels the reigning NFC champion Eagles, the $200 million man in Jalen Hurts, 1-0.
Yeah.
These guys will come and, you know.
I'll be happy.
What do they have to do first four games in your mind for you to be somewhat open to Mac Jones being a reasonable quarterback?
They have to go 3-1, and he has to show me that he can win football games. Because you're going Philly, Miami, at New York, at Dallas. So we know what Philly likes to do, and we all feel good about their defense. So we feel like, you know, based on what you're going to get defensively, you'll scheme up some good plans, and it's really going to come down to, is Mac good enough to outduel Jalen Hurts, if it is Tua, if it is Aaron Rodgers, or if it is Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott? Can he outduel and can he win you a game? You're down by 4. Mac needs to go the length of the field. Mac's going toe-to-toe with those quarterbacks. You know, Mac has thrown for 280 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
They go, in my mind, they go 2-2 in those 4 games. I'm encouraged.
Yeah, but what if they go 2-2
and they win off like interceptions?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically what you saw last year.
Now we're going to analyze. I mean, a win's a win.
Asking when you're going to be sold on Mac.
Well, no. I'm already sold on Mac.
No, you were asking Wiggy.
I'm sold on what I call the Mac O'Brien tandem.
I'm going to go lay down a massive unit on Eagles -4.
What?
Yeah, a gambling unit.
First time you ever said that.
Yeah. It's a family show.
I bet his girlfriend has never heard that before.
Oh, God.
That's mean.
Well, you set yourself up for that one, man. Oh.
Stick up for yourself, Shime. Say, yes, I do have a massive unit.
Well, I mean,
I gotta lie on the air.
Did you say I'm not going to lie on there?
He's on a diet, so it's the first time he's seen it in a while.
All right, Greg, you've used that one before. It's not that good.
I don't think I used that one.
You know
before.
What that is?
Yeah.
You never heard that one?
No.
That's called a dicky do.
Yep.
It's not about the size, it's about how you use it.
That's correct, Sean. Yeah. All right. Oh, my God. We got to go. Man, we got to go.
When your belly sits up.
All right. Oh, Lord.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, Sean. There are a lot of people out there like that.
Oh. Curtis, before we go, Courtney wants to know what Bailey Zappi's Madden rating is.
64.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Geyser.
Geyser.
Really, guys. I did with a bang.
All right, we will be back tomorrow morning at 6. Gresh and Foyer next. Thank you for listening, and thank you for watching the show on Twitch.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.